of this message that I'm going to preach this morning, what I struggled with most was a title. And you say, well, is a title that important? Well, it helps. Amen? It does. It helps. I heard of a young man who was a theological student at a Bible college, and he turned in a sermon for his final, for homiletics, which is where they teach us to preach and construct sermons. And Brother Becker, he thought he'd given a masterpiece. I mean, it had a good introduction. It had a good context of message and Bible text and good points, and they were alliterated and all that. And he had a good closing illustration, and he got it back from the professor, and it said C+. And he said, C+, my goodness. And he went to the professor and he said, excuse me, sir. He said, hold on a second. He said, let me tell you something. That was one of the best sermons I ever read in my entire life. He said, your introduction was great and you had good context and your points were excellent and you drew it all to a close. He said, what was your title? He said, nobody wants to come hear a message called The Teaching of Jesus Contrasted with the Pauline Epistles and the Pentateuch. He said, nobody wants to come listen to it. He said, your sermon should be so great, your title should be so great that if you put it on the church sign and a bus of people pass by, that they would come into your church. He said, you give me a better title. He said, I'll give you a better grade. And so he thought about it, brought it back the next day, and the professor held it up, and it said, there's a bomb on your bus, bomb disposal tech inside. Amen. And I said, that's the importance of a title. Amen. I was kicking some titles around. I thought about that, knowing this text, the manifestation of self-deception. I thought, boy, that's too much. That's just too much. I thought about conduct, not creed. A forgetful hearer. Ignoring God's commands. But I kept coming to this phrase, the real you. The real you. That's our title today. On August 23rd, 2005, a tropical storm originated over the Bahamas. It strengthened into a hurricane before making landfall in Broward County on the east coast of Florida on August 25th, 2005. It strengthened into a Category 5 hurricane over the warm Gulf of Mexico on August 26, 2005, but weakened to a Category 3 before making landfall again, this time in southeast Louisiana on August 29, 2005. We know it as Hurricane Katrina. It damaged so much, the damages were $108 billion. That's 90s, folks. $108 billion, and nearly 2,000 people lost their lives. Many of us remember during Hurricane Katrina the wall-to-wall news coverage, and of course, the finger-pointing. It was this person's fault, and we all know it was George Bush's fault, or we know it was Mayor Nagin's fault, or the Army Corps of Engineers' fault. We remember that. After Katrina ceased and the water levels were still high, there were several terrible displays that we saw on the news. Looting. You know, looting the real essentials like flat-screen TVs. Right? The corruption that we saw, I'll never forget, it came out later, but the corruption of Congressman William Jefferson. Anybody remember that? Had $90,000 in his freezer and used National Guardsmen to get him to his house in the middle of Katrina so he could get his personal belongings. By the way, he's serving 13 years for that corruption. And I think about the police misconduct, and there were other things that it was just awful. But you know, also during that time, there were those who had their own personal fishing boats and were driving around to rooftops, rescuing families. I remember that. I remember the scene and the displays that were there. People swimming out into raging currents to rescue other people. We were watching the news, my wife and I, and I'll never forget, they were showing people looting. And I was so angry. I was just angry. Look, what are they doing? Why on earth? I mean, people literally wading in chest deep water with a flat screen TV on their head. Like, that's going to come in handy. Yeah. Yeah, please plug it in is what I wanted to say. Amen. My wife said something I'll never forget. My wife's quite a sage. She's wise. She's quiet. She said, honey. And then, of course, we saw people in fishing boats rescuing people. She said, honey, those people are what they are. The crisis just revealed what they really are. You know, what you are under pressure is what you are. You don't squeeze an orange and get apple juice. You squeeze an orange, you get orange juice and a wet hand. Amen? Hallelujah. Sticky. We are what we are. People who were thieves stole. People who were compassionate helped. That's who they really were. If you know the book of James at all, it's a tremendous book. We spent, I think about a year and a half studying James on Wednesday nights. And there's so much in it. The study we did was that faith that works. Real faith works. And in the first chapter, verses 1 through 18, you have the proving of faith. Verses 19 through chapter 5, verse 6, you have the production of faith. And then verses 5, 7 through 20, you have the power of faith. And James 1 begins with the development of faith. If you want to look there with me, how does faith develop? Well, you may not like this, but I didn't write it. I just recited. Hallelujah. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That means various, multiple temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I don't know about you. Patience is a hard thing. Amen? Let me just say this. The more trials you go through, if you will allow the Lord to teach you, you will develop more patience. Now, if you just want to get through the trial, get this over with, Lord. Well, it'd be a whole lot better to say, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this? What are you trying to teach me? How are you trying to grow me? Because tribulation worketh patience. If you're like me, Brother Becker preached on preparation in Sunday school, and it was good. I got convicted, Brother Becker, about my eating habits, amen? But I thought about it. Hey, listen, how many of you on Thanksgiving are glad for patience? To God be the glory. Hey, that Travis is back there. Amen. Hey, you, Wednesday night, you probably, mama puts that turkey in the oven and she sets it for 5 a.m. or whatever, but she's already prepped it with all the spices and all that. And then you wake up on Thanksgiving morning and you go, oh. I remember when we were in Bible college, we drove through the night to be at my mother and father's house for Thanksgiving. We left Pontiac right after we finished work, and we drove. And I'll never forget, Brother Horst, just coffee. You know, just almost needed an IV of coffee. We were driving, amen. And I'll never forget, we knocked on Mom's door. She had one of those long windows. Went, and she opened the door. And I remember walking in and hugging my mom and all that. But then I went like this, Brother Bill. Oh, hallelujah. Thanksgiving, amen. Patience. Can't put a turkey in the microwave. But you can, but trust me, it's not going to turn out well in more ways than one, okay? You must have a huge microwave if you're going to put Birdzilla in there. Hallelujah, amen. Just patience. You know, that's how faith develops. Listen to me. Faith that can't be tried is not really faith. It's weak faith, small faith, limited faith. So it begins with the development of faith through purposed trials, but also through personal temptations. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So it tells us that in our personal temptations, it's not the one, God is not the one here that's tempting us. But he says this, he gives us the process here. He says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Can you just picture Genesis chapter 3 right here, Eve? The devil said, oh, that's good for food. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. You'll be just like God if you eat of that tree. And what happened? He was tempted and enticed. And then what's it say? It says, then when lust hath conceived, what's the child of lust? It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, what's the child of sin? Death. Death. So we see here the development of faith is through purposed trials and personal temptations. And by the way, I'm glad 1 Corinthians 10:13 is in the Bible. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm thankful for that. So there's the development of faith through purpose trials and personal temptations. And then really in our text, verses 19, really all the way through chapter 5, is the demonstration of faith. The demonstration of faith. How faith is proven, and particularly in chapter 2, which many times there becomes a conflict between believers who don't rightly divide the Word of God. They say, well, James and Paul are at odds with one another because Paul said it's by faith and James said it's by works. Listen. Don't do that. Salvation is all by faith. But for a world around us, our salvation is seen by our works. It is how it is demonstrated. It is how it is proven. If I were to ask the question, and I think I will ask it, two questions today. How many of you here today love God? Say amen.
Amen.
It's about what I expected. How many of you here today love God's Word? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Hey.
I was reading a fantastic devotional this year by a man named Tozier. I read yesterday just a moving devotional on mercy. And it was a particular Puritan who was getting ready to pass off the scene, and there were some folks around him that were comforting him, and they said, Brother Thomas, you're going on to your reward. And how many of you, listen, I believe God's talked about rewards and things. He said, oh no, I'm going on to receive mercy. Boy, that'll burst our pride bubbles that Brother Russ preached about last week, amen. This devotional by Tozier, he took the verse of Jesus where he said in verse 15 of John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Later on in verse 21 of John 14, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. The final test, Tozier said, of love is obedience. Not sweet emotions, not willingness to sacrifice, not zeal, but obedience to the commandments of Christ. Our Lord draws a line plain and tight for everyone to see. On one side, he placed those who keep his commandments and said, these love me. On the other side, he put those who keep not his sayings and said, these love me not. Love for Christ is a love of willing as well as a love of feeling. And it's impossible to love him adequately unless we will obey his words. the real you. The real you is found. The key is verse 22 of James chapter 1. Look at it. James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So here's the question. A whole bunch of us said, "Amen, I love God." You're here at church on a Sunday. That tells me something. I love God's word. Are you a doer? Not just a hearer. Not just a hearer. Listen, there are people, forgive me, in apostate churches that are going to hear the scriptures this morning. They're not going to hear them expounded, but they'll hear the very word of God. Are they doers? I want to make it even more personal. Am I a doer? What's the real me? What's the real me? Am I a forgetful hearer or a doer of the word concerning what God has said in his word about some things? I have just, I think, five today. Five simple things to ask yourself. Am I a doer or a hearer only? How about, number one, am I a forgetful hearer or a doer of the word concerning hell? Concerning hell. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean about hell? Well, how many of you believe in hell today? Say amen. I mean, you really believe in hell, right? We really believe that there is a hell where people without Jesus Christ die and go and burn forever and ever and ever and ever. How many of us really believe that?
Yeah. Amen.
Got any gospel tracts on you?
Yes, I have.
Come on.
Yes, I have.
Got any gospel tracts on you? Praise God. Amen. If you do.
Amen.
If not, maybe you don't really believe it.
Come on.
Come on. Listen, I know I'm shaving close to home today.
Come on. Go ahead.
Come on, preacher. Either we don't really believe it, we've forgotten about it, or we don't care. The Bible says about the rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes. You know where the rich man still is? Hell. The Bible says that hell is a place of everlasting punishment. Mark 9, 44, 46, and 48, the same verse over and over. It says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Listen to me, that's our loved one, that's our neighbor, that's our coworker. Do we really believe in it? Sadly, there have been times in my life where the answer, Brother Tom, was no. How do you know it was no, Pastor? It was proven in my actions. I cared more about what they thought of me than where they were going. Somebody say amen this morning. I know this is, listen, this is preaching. This is preaching. Are we a doer of the word or a forgetful hearer concerning the place called hell? I mean, listen, is hell still hot? I know apostate preachers have been trying to cool it off for 100 years. And by the way, always beware of a preacher who's trying to cool off hell. He's probably going to reside there. I get nervous about preachers trying to air condition hell. Hey, hell's still hot. People still go there. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Do I believe in hell? Well, how many gospel tracts did I pass out this week, Brother Case? Did I compel anybody this week? Did I say to somebody over the phone or a note or something else to say, hey, there's a real hell. I don't want you to go there. I love you. I was out with Drake yesterday. By the way, Drake's a blessing.
Amen.
Down working in junior church right now. Drake's a blessing. He was telling me about one of his buddies that he brought to church. He said, I waited for the opportunity, Pastor, and he said, I got alone with him, and he said, Smitty, he said, this young man, his name was Smith, and he said, Smitty, he claimed to be an atheist. He said, I don't think you're an atheist. He said, I think you're mad at God. And he said, and I don't want you to go to hell when you die. You know the reason I'm saved, Brother Case, is because a man went out of his way. He looked for an opportunity.
Amen.
I could even say, Brother Case, he might have made an opportunity.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wait for Saturday soul winning to
reach out
somebody. But that, by the way, that's a good time.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Come on out.
Amen.
And Brother Case, this is what he said to me. He said, you know those bands you listen to? Many of you know my testimony as an old heavy metal drummer. Mm-hmm. He said, you know those bands that you listen to? They all portray hell as kind of like a big party. You've heard that before. I want to go to hell and be with all my buddies.
Yep.
And this is what he said. He said, it's not true. He said, hell's a place of eternal torment, and you don't want to go there.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
You know what? I'm convinced that old Bob Barnes believed in hell enough to give two gospel tracts to a hippie.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
And it's the reason I'm saved today.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Listen, I know I'm shaven. This is what we call, as a pastor, it's what you call a shearing message. I've heard some pastors call them skinning messages.
Yeah.
You know, praise God, you can shear sheep over and over, but you can only skin them once, and then you got to have lamb chops,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
Don't want them gone.
But I do want us to get pretty close. We may nick a little bit here. We may cut ourselves a little bit. When's the last time? When's the last time you gave the gospel to somebody? Preached? I mean, I'm not talking about doing what we do. I'm just talking about in compassion, in the break room, saying, Bob, can I talk to you for just 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Can I have a couple
Amen.
Minutes of your time?
Amen.
When's the last time you literally went door to door in our town, in our community, and said, hey, we'd like to invite you to church, but more important than that, I'd like to ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?
Amen.
If you're not sure, I could show you.
Sure.
Come on, help me, church.
Amen.
Listen, that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
If we really believe in hell.
Yeah. Come on.
It's a strong question. If we don't witness, if we don't share it, and that's my second point, not only believing in hell, but are we obeying Christ in this matter of heralding the gospel? If we really believe, God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know why we have missions? Because God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we support missionaries. It's why we have gospel tracts back there. It's why we have a visitation program. It's why we follow up. It's why we have Vacation Bible School. Because of God's command. So here it is. Are you heralding? Probably want to put that away. Are you heralding? I mean, are we giving out the gospel? Has it been a long time? I said one of our Bible college professors, he used to say, you got gospel tracts on you? We'd say, yes, sir. And he'd look at me and say, those are dog-eared. Those have been in your pocket too long. He said, those have dog ears on them. He said, if you got fresh gospel tracts, they shouldn't have dog ears. Hey, forgive me, you shouldn't have gospel tracts that say Pastor Phil Anthony.
Amen.
Pastor Anthony's been gone a while. Amen.
Amen.
That's a long time. If you got gospel tracts that say JJPs, we really need to talk. Amen.
Amen.
It blesses my heart when I look at that track rack and I see it empty out each week. I say, Pastor Mark, fill her up. Fill her up.
Amen.
And I know there's a lot of you that witness in different ways. You witness to the waiter. You witness to the waitress. You leave a gospel tract. Amen. 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 Listen. That just proves that we're trying to be doers of the work. And I know this, listen, it's messages like this that can rein us back in and rearrange our priorities. So are we doers of the work? Doers of the word or forgetful hearers in regards to hell? Are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers in regards to heralding the gospel? Are we doers of the word? Or are we forgetful hearers in regards to hearing Look at the text, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? And slow to... Have you ever had somebody, you're talking to them, and I've done it. I wish I never had, but the older I get, the less I try to do it. You're talking to them, and you're going to say something, and they finish what you're saying, but only you weren't going to say that. I always think of this verse. Be swift to... Hey, listen, a lot of grandma's advice is sage advice. Grandma said, God gave you two ears and one, so listen twice as much as you... That's good advice. That's James 1:19 advice, amen. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But then it says some more things about hearing. There's swift hearers equal slow speakers. It says something else about hearing. In verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightforward forgetteth what manner of man he was. I don't claim to be a good preacher, but I claim to be a Bible preacher. If you sit in this congregation, you will hear the Bible. You will hear the Word of God. Amen. What are you going to do with it? It's like that old man in the church. He'd come up to the pastor every week. He'd say, Pastor, I wish you hadn't told me that. I wish you hadn't told me that. And the pastor, after a while, I said, what do you mean, I wish you hadn't told? He said, well, I used to be ignorant of that truth. Now I'm responsible for it.
Amen. Amen.
Are we forgetful hearers? Are we ignorant hearers? Or are we just disobedient? You know, I don't really care. I don't care what the Bible says about warning people about hell. I'm sure glad somebody cared about me.
Amen.
I'm sure glad somebody cared enough to obey Amen. The Bible in my life.
Amen.
Hearing. Look at verse 26. It says something else about hearing there. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. When you read this text, by the way, and if you read verse 25, it says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he's a doer, amen, he's not just a hearer, he being not a what? Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I can't help but read this passage and think of the story that Jesus told about the two builders. The one man built his house upon the rock. The one man built his house upon the sand. And Jesus clears up any sort of misconceptions. He said, the one who builds his house upon the rock is the one who hears the word and does it. The one who builds his house upon the sand is the one who hears it. He hears the same thing that the other man heard, but he doesn't do it. I'll get to that one day. It'll be just fine on the sand. I've told the story before, Lord willing. My wife and I are going to try to go out to New England next year with our family. And there's a particular beach that we go to called Ballston Beach. It's a part of the National Seashore. Nobody sunbathes out there. It's rocky. It's just a place my wife and I have gone for 20 years. It's hard to find and get to. And we'll just go there at sunset and sit, listen to the waves lap. And there's always been this house up on the hill, and we've joked about it. Said, you know, one day we'll live in that house. And it's like $3 million, amen. And by the way, the price keeps going down. You know why? Because the dunes are eroding, Brother Tom.
Yes.
Hurricanes come, and they take a little bit of that dune off, and they take a little bit of that dune off. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a giant sand dune. There's no rock there. Eventually, that house is going into the sea, eventually. Eventually, the person who's just a hearer of the word The Bible says, and great was the fall of it. So ask yourself, am I a doer of the word regarding hearing? Am I doing what I hear? Amen? Am I doing what I hear? Are we doers of the word in regards to hell? Are we doers of the word in regards to heralding? Are we doers of the word in regards to hearing? Oh, I like this one, verse 27. Two more points and we're done here. Are we doers of the word in regards to helping? Helping. We've got some people in our church. I brag on him right now. He's not in the room, so I can brag on him. I'm going to tell you, one of the most helpful people in our church is Brother Ken Curry. Brother Ken Curry. Never any fanfare. He doesn't want it. He's on the bus right now. On the bus right now. He's on the bus right now. Takes care of our water. I remember when I first got here and I had what seemed like about a billion leaves in my yard, and you used to be able to blow them onto the street and they'd come sweep them up. I hope they get back to that in Jackson. I'll never forget, I came home one day, Brother Sammons, and Brother Curry was out there with a big backpack blowing my leaves for me. Not that I couldn't, I was perfectly willing to do them. There he was over there just helping. I think of other people in our church. I think of our deacons in our church. You know, the reason the office of deacon was created was because widows were being neglected. I think of our deacons that'll contact our widows at different points during the year. Now, all you widows, don't come to me and say, you know, my deacon hasn't called me in 3 months. Please don't do that, amen. But I think about deacons that do, and they'll just call you and say, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Is there a need that you have right now? Am I by the way, that's not just for deacons. Am I obeying in regards to helping? You know, the old Boy Scout. You know, the Boy Scouts would help somebody across the street. You know, as Christians, we ought to be helpful to our neighbors. We see our neighbor with a moving truck that pulls up, and you know, I'm not talking if you're 85 or 86 and you can't lift a piano. Personally, I don't. It was amazing. I got saved in an independent Baptist church, and I moved about 5 pianos within about 3 months. I said, what's going on here? We have potlucks and piano movings, amen? It's part of being an independent Baptist, I guess. Helping. Let me ask a question. When's the last time you helped somebody without any thought of reward or return? I love this here because it says, pure religion. Talk a lot about religion, old-time religion. Religion's mentioned a bit in this text right here. Pure religion and undefiled is this. Before God and the Father, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction. Our church, I really believe our church loves the young people that come on our bus. If you ever get a bad spirit about children that come on our bus. Listen, I know you Sunday school teachers, they can try your patience. I was there. When I was in Bible college, I had a class of 40. All from the bus, Brother Terry. 4th through 6th grade boys. I kid you not, there were times it was tough, and there were times I could literally have them as quiet as you are right now. But if you ever get cross with one of those kids, do me a favor, let me know, and I'll take you to where they live. Yeah. I'm not scolding. I'm saying pure religion, and pure religion is this, to visit the widows and the fatherless. Why is America in the mess that it's in? Fatherlessness. We're getting ready to celebrate Father's Day next week. Thank God for my father. I thank God for what he did in my life. I thank God for how many times he took me to the woodshed and should have took me there a lot more. Don't tell my kids that. Amen. Helping. Helping. When's the last time you helped somebody? Isn't it great when God blesses you? There are times when God blesses you with something and a gift. You know, the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. It doesn't say it's not blessed to receive. I know that's, I'm glad to receive things, amen. It just says it's more blessed to give. Isn't it a blessing? Maybe God, like God blesses you with $100, and you give 10 back to God.
Amen.
Okay, and then maybe you go out to eat or do something, you know, something, and then you have some left over, and you can be a blessing to somebody else. Nobody knows about it. You got just anonymous. You write with your left hand so they don't know your penmanship. All those cool ways of covering it all up. Amen. And you write with your left hand, so don't. And you give it to somebody else, and you help somebody. I was thinking, writing an article this week, and I really think I'm going to try to publish it. I'll get it out to the church first. It's 15 things you don't know about your pastor. And it's just some personal things, almost ways you could pray for your pastor. And I'm telling you what, one of the things is that behind the scenes stuff. One of the points is the pastor doesn't have all the answers. When somebody, I got a call this week, somebody asked me about helping with their central air, Brother Leonard. Amen. I said, you know, I'm an expert in central air.
Right.
Yeah. An X is a has-been and a spurt is a drip under pressure. I'm an expert when it comes to central air. And they said, I've gotten calls before, hey, I got this rattle with my car. Now again, you folks know me. Somebody say, you know, I got this wall at my house that looks a little. I mean, you might as well be speaking Hungarian to me right now, amen. You folks know how unhandy I am, amen. But then there are other times where people say, Pastor, why did my child die? I've had it before where people have said, I have no reason to live. And it's at points like that, Brother Horst, where I don't have all the answers. But I'm glad I can help. Just help. You know what it takes most of all to help? Two things. Willingness and time. Not because you have time. Because a lot of times we don't. Because you make time to help somebody. So are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers regarding hell? Are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers regarding heralding the gospel? Are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers regarding hearing? Are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers regarding helping? Let me give you the last one. It's right in the text. Are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers regarding holiness? It says there, pure religion. What's pure religion? And undefiled. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Amen, Pastor. Boy, that's right. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Several years ago, and please, I'm shearing again. Several years ago, I had some folks that I went to Bible college with that were bragging. They weren't bragging, but they were talking about a movie that they had gone to the theaters to see. It was a war movie, great reviews, patriotic, all this. These are people that know you ought not to go to the theater.
Amen.
That's not just old fashioned. The movies that were in the theater have been terrible for 30 years, and they're not getting better. Would you let somebody come into your home and use the Lord's name in vain in your presence over and over and over and over? Of course you wouldn't. But people pay $10 and get popcorn to go do it. Help me, church, amen. And they were bragging about a particular movie. And again, please, I'm not. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit. But what bothered me was, Brother Case, I went online and did a quick review of the movie. There's a particular word that no Christian ought to ever use, no Christian ought to say, and I'm doing my best to skirt around it right now, that was used over 100 times in that movie. And here we had God's people in a public forum on Facebook saying this was the most wonderful movie and wow, I feel like a better American for seeing it and all. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God still commands, be holy, for I am holy. holiness. Holiness isn't just seen in long skirts and modest dress, though that is a good manifestation of it. Listen to me, ladies. I know it's summertime. But you ought to be careful what you show. Help me, church. Amen. Talking about holiness here. Holiness springs from within, a desire to please God, to obey God, to search out His truth, and to walk in His ways. Are we? Are we? By the way, that's not just for ladies, sir.
Amen.
You watch your eyes.
Amen.
I learned a long time ago when you're dealing with ladies, you ought to stay from the neck up.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's for two reasons. Sometimes people don't wear much from the neck down.
Amen.
And number two, for my own holiness.
Your
own holiness, sir.
Amen.
You don't want thoughts rattling around in your mind. Amen.
Amen.
Holiness, to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Amen.
A preacher friend of mine, I'll close with this. He gave what I think is the best illustration I've ever heard about this. How many of you realize when you get saved, all your sins are washed away? Glory to God. I mean, you're literally as pure as the driven snow. And the preacher, what he did, Brother Hugh, is he walked out in a white suit. I mean, a white suit. He looked like the ice cream man. I mean, he was. And he gave the illustration of what happens when we sin in our lives. And he gave a particular sin. He said, let's say I, just this illustration, let's say I watch something I shouldn't and I have an impure thought. And he had a young man come up with a black permanent magic marker. And he put a mark on his white suit. And he preached, Brother Becker, for about 35 minutes. And he was preaching on all kinds of different sins. And he had young people coming up and marking that up and putting all those marks on it. And he said, this is what it is to be spotted by the world.
Yeah.
He said, yes, we've been given a robe of righteousness, but we can soil it, can't we, in this old world. I know that's not popular preaching. Preach on holiness. I know, listen, holiness, sometimes it's holier than thou. Right? I understand that. I understand that. By the way, it'd be better to err on that side than to get all those black marks on your white suit. I'm talking about holiness that says, I really love God. Now, when I asked before how many love God, there was a big amen, a rousing amen. When I love God's word, amen. After this message, maybe it's a little lighter. Maybe it's I don't love him quite as much as I thought I did 30 minutes ago. How about hell, folks? Do we have loved ones that are going to hell? Listen, when I point one at you, I got three coming right back at me. I have all kinds of family in Massachusetts that don't know Christ. Don't know Christ. And to be honest with you, I get to that point where I think, well, if God wants to save them, he can save them. That's wrong. God wants to use me. Have compassion. Forget a time I witnessed to my dad. I'm closing. Witnessed to my dad, and I literally got down on my knees. I don't know if my mom remembers this or not. I got down on my knees at the top of our stairs. Lived in a raised ranch where the stairs went up. My dad was at the top of the stairs, and I literally grabbed him around the legs like this, and I was just crying. Just crying. Because God had so burdened my heart that my dad was going to go to hell. Did you live your whole life that way, Pastor? No. I got cold. But there were times where the Word of God was preached. And it stoked that fire again. It's part of what preacher's job is. It's to stir the embers. Stir the... There's a fire down in there. Yeah, we have that fire. But sometimes the ashes need to be cleaned out. Need to keep the drafts open.
Yeah.
Amen. And let God burn hot. Father, Lord, so sometimes I'm so ashamed when I think of the real me.